Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ as we continue this series in Romans. As I said, and we've got 2 weeks left to walk through this book. I got new hearing aids, so I have to find a spot where it's not too squeaky. You guys are probably like, oh my gosh, this is like 12 years too late. But anyway, I can hear things that I never could hear before, so it even irritates myself. Sorry. So last week, in the last couple weeks, if we walked through Romans 14 and 15, Paul was telling us how to live with others. And basically, we are called to love others, especially those of the body of Christ. That's the most direct way to summarize it. Whether we run into Christians who are strict in some attitudes or free in others and such, you know, believers are not to bring judgment upon each other. That's totally inappropriate, Paul said. Because we're not their masters. You know, some of these issues that we divide on are matters of conscience. And we will all face the ultimate judge. Paul's like, you know, don't do vengeance and don't do judgment. Those are two pretty good rules that we should live by as Christians. Because God has it all well in hand. And throughout Romans 14 and into 15, Paul hammered home this message about building each other up. We are not to be tearing each other down. That is what the world does. We're supposed to show love for one another, care for one another, help one another. Because again, we are to imitate Christ. Christ is our ultimate example. And Paul's ultimate message here is that Jesus is the hope for both Jews and Gentiles. We are to put our hope in him. Even when following him, even when doing his will, is difficult and it's a burden. We are to keep going in Christ. He will lead us through. Because ultimately, none of us will face, or few of us will face, the ultimate price he paid, which was his life, right? And so he calls us to continue to follow him closely. And so today we finish up chapter 15. Looking at Christ, who is our hope and our future. You know, because again, we pray for things. Those that we pray for in the past, we know how they turned out. Those that we pray for in the future, we can only pray in hope, right? So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we come before you this Sunday morning and we thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to draw closer to you, to be built up in you. And not only that, Lord, you give us the gift of family to build each other up. And for that blessing, Lord, we thank and praise you because that is so important in this world that wants to just tear down, tear down, tear down. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we went through the end of chapter 14 and then we went through the first six verses of chapter 15. And this was about the example of Christ. And so I just want to read through the first six verses again as we start walking through the rest of 15 today. Because this is what Paul wrote. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. You know, stop there again, right? Right? When you believe in God and you say that, people who don't will ridicule you, right? And it's like they're ridiculing God. And again, we don't need to get in the way. God will handle that, right? You know? It's like, but that's the way the world works. So he continues, sorry. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those last two verses, 5 and 6, again, that was a prayer Paul wrote because he recognizes that it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that allows us to accomplish that, right? And Paul reminds us, endure, be patient, be encouraged, live with one another in harmony, right? And so this is where we pick up today as Paul completes his chapter 15, talking how Jesus Christ is hope for both Jews and Gentiles. And so we start with verses 7 through 13. Again, where Paul tells us that we are filled with joy and love and peace by the Holy Spirit. And he writes, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again it says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.' And again Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope.' Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So that very opening line of verse 7, "Therefore welcome one another." Again, instead of arguing over the various issues that divide Christians, we are to receive one another as Christ received us. That means in pure mercy and grace, right? I mean, it's easy to pick out each other's faults, right? But we are called to bear with folks even when they have those faults, right? It's a hard call, but Christ does not call us to do something easy, right? There was a movie a few years ago, you know, where the angel who had come to the guy said, "Oh, it's simple. It's just hard." And that line has always stuck with me. Because Christ received all of us with our faults, right? And so we're called to do the same. And there are four Old Testament verses that God had Paul include in that summary above, right? And these verses are from Psalms and Isaiah, Deuteronomy, and 2 Samuel. These are Old Testament verses that indicate, that show, that confirm God's plan always included the Gentiles. Jesus was always going to come for Jew and Gentile. I mean, Mary and Joseph heard that from Simeon, right? "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And so it's like, regardless of the difficulties of living with others, regardless all the things that we can get in disputes over, when we are in Jesus Christ, we are to look for the things that unite us so that we can with one voice praise God. And then he finished that section with a very common verse many people cite. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Right? We don't have to hope for the past. We can see it in the rearview mirror. Hope is about the future. And God fills us with blessings of joy and hope when we believe in him. Right? And again, this is another common bond we all have. You know, because even if things go so poorly that someday you would give up for your life for Jesus Christ, well, the next step is heaven. And that's about the best thing we could have, right? So the future is bright. What was the song from the 80s, right? "The future's so bright, we gotta wear shades." Christians should be singing something like that. Our God is a God of hope, and people cannot live without hope. To live in despair is to just spiral down. But when we have hope, we can face even the most difficult circumstances in our lives. So Paul continues in verses 14 through 16. And he calls himself the minister to the Gentiles. He writes, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I've written to you very boldly by way of a reminder because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul opens up telling them that he's satisfied with their knowledge and that they're able to instruct one another. And why is that? Because he didn't feel that the Roman Christians couldn't discern what was right or wrong, right? He knew they could admonish one another. The church was established enough that they could address some of these issues. So he says, I'm writing to encourage you, to build you up again, right? Continue to do what is right. Provide the support to people when they need it. And that kind of encouragement goes a long ways, doesn't it? Everybody loves an attaboy, a pat on the back, right? I mean, the ones we really hate are the condescending ones, right? It's like, don't do that to me. But when we get a true, wow, you did a great job, that goes a long ways towards, again, building up the body of Christ. And Paul says, I'm to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles. And so it's likely that the Roman church was probably filled with many Jews who were living there yet. And maybe it hadn't reached out as far as it should have into the Gentile world, you know, being located there in the capital. And so he's reminding these people, I'm the minister to the Gentiles. You guys, we need to reach out to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And so Paul, in fulfilling his call as this, both preached the gospel of salvation and instructed believers how to live. That's what he does, right, in his letters that we have in the book. And then he finishes here saying, so the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Whenever we have a chance to share the gospel and we take advantage of it, that's a life glorifying God. And it's exciting to be a part of that, right? It's exciting to see people, see Jesus move in people's lives. See people open up their heart to Jesus Christ. So, you know, I mean, that is exciting news, isn't it? When someone comes, that's the first reason we should be sharing the gospel. And then the second part is how exciting it is to see a change in people's lives, to be a part of it. And again, we get to be a part of not only those new believers, but old believers as well, to build each other up. This is the fellowship of the believers that they would sometimes mention. And again, we have a number of verses that Paul and others had written about this, right? Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing, Paul said to the Thessalonians. And the writer of Hebrews said, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, encouraging one another as you see the day drawing near. And then finally, Jesus' own promise, right? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them. There I am, right? So there are all these reasons to be a part of this work and to be active. So in verses 17 to 19, Paul talks about the glories of the work that God has done through him. He writes, in Jesus Christ, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power and signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. In Christ Jesus, Paul wrote, I have reason to be proud of my work. Again, Paul has been called the minister to the Gentiles, and he gives glory to God for the call that he received. Think about all the things that had happened to Paul that we've talked about in the past. The beatings, the stoning, the imprisonment. That's all in the past. Paul looks forward with hope, right? He is dedicated to speaking about Jesus Christ and his saving work. And so again, he reminds us, the point of our lives is about Jesus. He's the only one who brings salvation. And again, just like Jesus proved his obedience by word and deed, by power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God blessed Paul to have such power and words and signs. And he helped Paul to preach that gospel. And he'll help us to speak. When we are bold enough to speak out about Christ and testify to Christ, God will give us the power to say those words and not worry about it. So then Paul talks about his desire to go to new places and continue preaching the gospel in verses 20 and 21. Thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Paul indicates that he had traveled as far as he had because he wanted to talk about the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he wanted to do pioneering work. That's not necessarily ego. It's not wrong to build on someone else's work. And these days, we will be building on other people's work. But Paul saw that the harvest is plentiful. But just like Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. The harvest will always be plentiful in this world. We have opportunities to speak out, to make his name known. And so this is why Paul says, I've been desiring to come to Rome, and it just has not happened, in verses 22 to 24. This is the reason I've so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I've longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and be helped on my journey there by you once I've enjoyed your company for a while. Paul indicates, I've been wanting to get to Rome for a long time, but I had those other mission fields in Greece and Asia Minor to go into. And so I've been stopped, but there's a new frontier out there, Spain. And on my way there, I want to stop and see you. And what will he get by stopping? He will get fellowship and encouragement and support, which would make the Roman Christians partners in his ministry, right? Because they could give him fellowship and encouragement and support and build him up as he went on his way. And again, that's the call that we have been called to do. Now, from the book of Acts, we know that Paul's plans didn't come to fruition the way they wanted to or the way he was thinking, right? He got to Rome, but it wasn't on his way to Spain. It was as a prisoner to Caesar, right? But regardless, he was still able to go to Rome and preach the gospel on a completely different frontier because he would have been welcomed by the church. And instead, when he got to Rome, he was thrown into prison and there was a brand new frontier of opportunity for him to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about what his plans were. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to also be of service to them in material blessings. Thus, when I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I am going to Jerusalem to bring aid to the saints. Paul was extolling the Gentile believers of Macedonia and Achaia, that southern part of Greece, because they had undertaken to give blessings to the saints, to those suffering in Jerusalem. They knew and accepted their call to be of service to others, especially those in material need. And so Paul's observation is appropriate, right? The Gentile Christians have been included in something that people thought was only for the Jews. They should be able to repay and help out those in time of need. Again, what a blessing to be a Christian, right? To know that our soul is secure in Jesus Christ. And so the things of this world, we can just take care of them and help others when we have the opportunity, because we have a blessing that is so far above material blessings. Finally, Paul finishes with a plea for prayer from his brothers. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he says here, strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf, right? His life was spared from the unbelievers in Judea, right? But they did get their way in that he was limited for the next 2 years in what he could do. He was a prisoner, right, of the Jews. Paul sensed this danger before he left Corinth and headed off to Jerusalem. And in fact, the book of Acts records two warnings that Paul received, one in Acts 20 and one in Acts chapter 21. And so what did he request? He requested fervent, strong prayer. Prayer is the number one thing we can give our fellow believers. You know, it may seem so trite, especially to the world. You know, they hate that when people write thoughts and prayers. But prayer is the most important thing we can do because it's God who acts. It's God who is in control of things. And that's one of the calls that, again, we have to pray for our fellow man. And then Paul writes, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Again, Paul had this great desire to get to Rome, but he got there as a prisoner in chains, not as a free man able to go about and preach the gospel the way he thought he should. But again, when Paul arrived in Rome in chains, think of the joy and the refreshment that the church was able to provide him. A man who was a prisoner, there at least there to greet him, befriend him, come to his needs, right? Provide his daily sustenance so that even the guards in Rome were pretty lenient with Paul from what we understand. Again, this is not how we think things should go, right? We think things should go just the way they ought to go. Life should be X, Y, and Z, and never should it be A, B, and C. But even when the awful things of life come, even as Paul got to Rome in chains, he could recall the words that he had written to this group of believers because he had penned them himself. And this is a reminder for us. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And then a few lines later, he wrote, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So with these words in mind, Paul made plans, and he moved forward, and he knew regardless of what happened, his God would take care of him, and he would work for God's purpose. And with that, we remind ourselves, let us follow not only Christ's example, but Paul's example, to put our hope in the God of hope, because we don't know what happens tomorrow morning or any time after. Let him who has ears hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for these words of truth, that you work all things for our good, whether regardless of whether things are smooth or things spiral down, you work them for our good, and also that nothing will ever separate us from your love. What an amazing promise, God. What an amazing God. You are an amazing God, Lord, and we just thank and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.